1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter. At ESPN 1000.
Playing a game called High Low. All you have to do is you have to tell me the three most expensive ones. The three most expensive ones. Would you like to hear about them first?
Sure.
All right, Rich, tell us about it.
Ah, I love that. Does that make you feel like it's the 70s all over again, even though Drew Carey hosted in the 90s or the 2000s?
He's been doing that, what, 20 years now? I mean, how crazy
is that? It's crazy. Here he starts out as this hotshot, you know, stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Then he gets his own TV show, the Drew Carey Show. And then he settles into a game show host where he's been languishing for far too long, seemingly.
I think
it's a regular paycheck, right?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a pretty good size, like oversized check.
I would imagine.
There's a reason that he's doing it, because those, what they make for those things are ridiculous.
And Mr. Right? Sajak, I think, is doing okay.
Oh, Chicago's very own Pat Sajak.
Yes, sir. He went to Columbia College, same place I did.
Yeah, and you're making as much as he is.
Okay.
High or low?
That would be low, Brian.
I read something where, like, between tapings, like most of these game shows, they do four or five on a Monday and they're done for the week.
Uh huh.
Right? So
good work if you can get it.
Sure. But he and Vanna would go over to this dive bar across the street from the lot where they tape Wheel of Fortune.
Uh-huh.
And they would get half in the bag between shows. They would sit like in this dark dive bar.
Oh, you can imagine that. My mind's eye, I can see Pat looking a little buzzed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, Vanna, I have another one. We got to get back to the show. But let's get one more Long Island before we're out of here.
Is Pat a beer and a shot guy, or is he a frou-frou drink guy?
Oh, I got to think. If it's dive bar, I got to think it's shots, beers, you know, give me three fingers of scotch, whatever it is.
Okay.
All right, but our high-low is sports-related. And yesterday, unfortunately, we highlighted the White Sox. Major League Baseball wins above average by position and by pitching and by each defensive position, but it includes batting and fielding. And unfortunately, well, today the White Sox have improved from yesterday because they brought the bats and Johnny Cueto brought the
Did you say
the
unfortunately?
Ball. No, I said unfortunately they got
unfortunately.
Better.
Okay.
The number's better today because they brought the entirety of offense and defense yesterday, right?
Yep.
Yesterday, the Major League Baseball wins above average for the White Sox to that point in the season was a -5.5. Today, because the big win yesterday, they moved up a spot, leapfrogged the Arizona Diamondbacks. So now they're -4.9, which, you know, you need to see a positive instead of the negative to be a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
I ask you, Mark Zander, are the Cubs higher or lower than the Chicago White Sox in the overall Major League Baseball wins above average for the team? Higher, lower?
I hate to say this, but I think you're asking me if the Cubs are higher or lower.
Right.
Cubs are higher.
And it's not even close. They are five spots higher. They
ding,
are,
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, we'll move on. They're a -1.8 to the Chicago White Sox, -4.9.
Hey, I'm glad I scored a positive, but I'm not happy about that stat.
Well, think about
it.
Cubs are trying to lose, and the White Sox are trying to win. All right, so all of pitching.
You know, Brian, you just answered it. The Sox would just say, let's try to lose, and they'll fix this?
Yes. I don't think they verbalized that, but it almost seems like that's the team message, and they all understand it. All right, so relative to your Chicago White Sox, right?
Yeah.
All pitching, is the White Sox or Chicago Cubs higher or lower to this point in the season than Chicago White Sox, including starting and relief pitching, higher, lower?
Ooh, boy.
And remember, White Sox, strength of theirs, right? Rotation's been pretty good. Bullpen's been good at times.
Yeah, at times, that's the key point.
Joe Kelly is still there. Right?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I want to say the Cubs are lower.
They are higher. The White Sox are a -0.9, and Chicago Cubs, rebuilding as they may be, or don't say that, Jed Hoyer, -0.4. Starting pitching, Chicago Cubs higher or lower than the Chicago White Sox?
Oh, lower.
Higher.
Oh, Chicago come Cubs, on!
1.0. Both positive. Both have positive numbers. So above average. Chicago White Sox, your White Sox, 0.8. Now think about that.
I don't want to.
Okay. Relief pitching. Cubs, higher or lower than
higher.
The Chicago White Sox? They are higher. -1.3. Not good. They're middle of the pack at 15. Chicago White Sox, 22, -1.7. So close, but no cigar. All positions total without pitching. Are the White Sox higher or lower than the Chicago Cubs?
I want to say the White Sox are higher, but the way this game is going, I'm going to say
you notice
lower.
A trend here, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. I'm paying attention to the trend.
Okay. Trend lower. Is your friend. They are lower, not even close. White Sox -4.0, four games below average, and the Cubs only -1.4 games beneath the major league average. Again, you'd hope for better for certainly the White Sox, if not both sides of town. But there you go. Catching, Sebi, and Reese and Grandal. Cubs, and then we know this one's obvious, right? Wilson Contreras is an all-star.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because of that, the Cubs are top. They're number 8 overall in Major League Baseball with a positive 0.6.
And how close are we to the bottom?
Well, you know, just to make it 20, -0.7. Yeah, because McGuire, Grandal, and Zavala, my law firm, you would hope it's really Grandal's problem, right? I mean, that's who we lay that at.
Squarely on his shoulders. Look, Zavala has really been a pleasant surprise. I was one of those at that game last year where Sebi hit 3 home runs, one of them being a grand slam in a losing effort. I was actually at that game. But he was not consistent last year. He's Cueto's favorite catcher right now because time they spent in AAA.
Yeah.
And now his bat has come around so much so that Tony has given him a day off for good behavior today.
Yeah. Well, this one's going to be easy for you because Jose Abreu's got a 14-game hit streak currently. How about this? Jose Abreu now has 7 hit streaks in his career of at least 14 games. Think about that. He joins guys like Nelly Fox, Luke Appling, and Eddie Collins. Luke Appling once signed a ball for you, didn't he, Mark?
No, yeah. Not me.
That's fake news?
That's fake news.
Oh, but
might be somebody else.
So that one's obvious, right? The White Sox are certainly higher.
Yeah, thank you. We can have one for the White Sox.
Woo. Yeah.
Can I get a ding-ding? Thank you. It's a one. What's that with muted ding? That's like a half a victory. Right.
Yeah, and maybe Ian Happ better show up on the south side because are the White Sox higher or lower than the Cubs at second base?
The White Sox are lower.
No, they're higher, but not. I mean, but not good. Almost a full game.
Really?
Underneath
okay,
the average.
Well, okay. That's a slight victory. One small little victory, I suppose. Yeah. Thank
yeah,
you.
Because the Cubs are -1.2 to the White Sox 0.9 negative.
Hey, and I will say this. There have been plenty of people bagging on Harrison. Not lately. Everybody's quiet now because he's shown up, thankfully. But I'm glad that's turned out. That's a hell of a lot better than the Cesar Hernandez stuff last year.
Yes. Yes. Now, Yoan Moncada leading off today. White Sox higher or lower than the Cubs at third base to this point in the season, including offense and defense?
Lower.
They are, in fact, lower. They are a full game to the south of major league average to the Cubs 0.2, -0.2.
Now this year, and when you say third base, that's obviously covering Berger in there for Moncada.
Anyone who's played third base.
And I will say, Yoan has been solid defensively this year.
Yeah,
it's the bat that has not come around, and that's where he really earns his money.
Yeah, it's Moncada, Berger, Harrison, and Mendick, right?
Right.
And
right.
To the Cubs, better have a program. Brandon Drury, Moustakas, Solano. No, that's the wrong one. The wrong team. Wisdom, Villar, Higgins.
Yeah, I was going to say what?
Yeah, yeah. Nico Horner and Christopher Morel. Morel brings that number up on his own, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, shortstop. And Tim Anderson's an all-star. Are the Cubs higher or lower than the White Sox?
I want to say higher.
They are not. Not even close.
Really?
The Cubs are third. really good, a positive 1.7. The White Sox, positive, a full game above the average, but only a full game. Okay. They're 12th. The White Sox, the Cubs are third.
Wow. Well, and most of the time has been spent with Nico at shortstop. Yes,
correct.
And obviously Tim has been in and out a few times.
Yep.
Okay.
How about left field? Higher or lower? Cubs higher or lower than the White Sox?
Lower.
Oh yeah, not even close. Boy, is this possible? Left field, White Sox.
This is sickening. Is what 20, this is.
Well, it explains the White Sox season.
Yeah.
White Sox are 27th out of 30th. With a negative 1.3, and the Cubs are sitting at fourth overall.
Wow.
Why aren't the Cubs, why isn't their record better?
Right.
Well, because they have too many negative numbers, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so center
higher
field.
Higher or lower doesn't mean that the one that's higher is dominating. Not at all.
No, it's still no damn good, right?
Right.
All right, center field, you got to get this one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the White Sox.
Absolutely. Not even close. The White Sox, because of Louis Robert, sitting there at 10th overall, 9th. Ninth overall. So top 10 position for the White Sox. Cubs bottom, they're 27th. Right field, Cubs higher or lower than the White Sox? Good Lord. Is this possible? The Cubs have had 9 different players in right field. 9.
I want to say the White Sox, but I'm sure I'm wrong. The White Sox are higher.
They're lower. They're lower.
I don't like this game.
They're 24th in Major League Baseball in right field production, offense and defense. And the Cubs are sitting there at 18. So all of the outfield, you know where this is going, because with the center field's the only position that the White Sox are lower. Designated hitter. Here's one for you. White Sox higher or lower than the Cubs?
Higher.
No.
No.
Not even. Cubs are barely positive at 0.1, and the White Sox are minus 0.9, 26th. Boy, this really does explain the White Sox season. Finally, pinch hitting. When the offense starters can't do it, here comes Lurie Garcia. No, here's Andrew Vaughn. Who is it?
Oh, the Sox are lower.
No, they're negative.
Oh, okay.
They're negative, but they all are 12th overall, and the Cubs are 25th. Both negative numbers. So that explains a lot as to why
high low among the mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, boy, you would think the Cubs. I guess that's why they have closer games. They're playing a lot of close one-run, two-run games, right? It's not nearly.
Oh yeah, come on out, take some BP, and then if allowed, I'll throw the rubber.
Hold on, sorry.
Yeah, throw the rubber.
Swindell's happy about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see what you got. He'll take you. So yeah, there you go. Boy, White Sox got to turn those numbers around. Help. They did pick up 5. They were minus 5.5 yesterday. They're climbing the ladder. They're minus 4.9.
So 5 games behind the Twins right now. They're playing Detroit today. 1:10 start. Kopech on the mound. Dion Miller at 12:30 with the pregame. And Connor's on play-by-play with DJ. Let's hit the break here and come back. I want to touch upon one other thing. We're going to play some audio from the pregame here on ESPN 1000 yesterday, and see if we can sneak in a few calls before we get out of here, and then we'll wrap up the Twitter polls as well. This is ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
All right, just about to wrap things up for us here today. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander on ESPN 1000. From the old National Bank Studio on State Street. Beautiful day. We've got baseball on the south side. Fourth game against Detroit, trying to split the series. As I mentioned, Michael Kopech on the mound. Brian, Dion Miller's got the play-by, or I mean, I'm sorry, the pregame at 12:30. Connor and DJ on the play-by-play here on ESPN 1000. This is what I heard yesterday, Brian, and I want to play this because I thought it was interesting to hear. And, of course, after a winning day and such a dominant performance by Johnny Cueto in the offense, today we feel good, us Sox fans. But what about when we get into another multi-game funk? You know, what are we going to feel like then? And this is something I wanted to draw attention to.
Well, you learned a long time ago that, you know, there's always communicating about something with a bunch of them. You kind of go up the list. Only 25 guys, 26 guys. If you call them in the office, it's too official. So you can really have an unofficial, casual meeting, and you can make a point about, you know, like the other day I talked to Lambert. I'll talk to Garcia today. But you make a point that's baseball oriented, and you do it out there in the spaces where it's not as intimidating.
What's he going to talk to Leori? I still love you.
He just says,
"I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I had somebody pinch hit for you. That does not mean I love you any less."
No, he says it with flowers.
You must have a big flower bill.
You went to Jared? Oh, Tony.
You know, when I heard Tony yesterday talk to Len, that was here on ESPN 1000. I thought, you know what? I appreciate the sentiment, but is that really getting the job done when they really need to send a message? These are pro players. Don't the coaches have to reinforce the simple things? And why does he have to do it in such a neutral space and in such a, I don't know. It just seems so counterintuitive to what we know about Tony. And he's maybe over-adjusted to the new ways of baseball where everybody has to be coddled. I'm not sure what to make of it. It just doesn't sound like that's the way to get the message across.
Here comes Tony walking across out to center field with a couple churros, and he's going to pull Lurie aside. Hey, let's have a moment. You want to have a game of catch?
They knock churros together as a sign of love.
Exactly, like the foodies do. Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah.
Let's go get them today. That's why they give you an office, right? Why don't you use it? But I'm old school that way. At some point, you know, you need
to. Well, you and me, both. And you know, if somebody wants to sneak in here, we have a little time. 312-332-3776. Does this sound like Tony's too soft, or is this the way things should go? And this is the appropriate way to handle it. And you know, these are adult players. They're adults. They're professional players. They get paid a lot of money. They should know to be more disciplined at the plate. If they're having a bad day, they should know to make that adjustment. I would think that they should know pitch by pitch to make that adjustment. Well, you know, how much do you have to coach these people? How hard do you have to be? Is this the right approach from Tony?
Well, here's the problem. Can you bring the entire team into the office at the same time and shut the door? Because as Mark Gonzalez wrote today in Fangraph's stat, and we talked about it at the top of the show, the White Sox are the worst team in the American League at swinging at pitches outside the zone at a healthy 39.5,
Good
let's
point.
Call it 40%.
Good point. Get them all in the clubhouse at one time and talk loudly. What's with this meeting everybody in the field? He doesn't move that fast. How many people can he meet with?
No. Again, and so when you're an umpire behind the plate, and I said, you know, earlier in the show, when Tony gave the half-hearted, "I'm coming out here to get thrown out," because, you know, you can't argue balls and strikes. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't barreling out there. He did the senior shuffle. And and then the umpire gives him the Stephen Colbert, "Okay, you're out of here. Give him now. See you,
it wasn't,
Tony."
It wasn't too emphatic. It was just kind of a flip of an arm.
And the pitch was a ball.
Yeah.
The pitch was a ball. So you're not getting the benefit of any calls around the plate, any pitches around the plate as a batter.
That's the motivator that Tony is in this day and time.
Right. Because if you're an undisciplined team offensively, the umpires aren't going to give you the borderline call.
Right.
They're just going to say you're swinging at balls. If you're doing that 40% of the time, I can't help you out. Okay, you know, pitchers get the benefit when they're on the plate from the get go as a starter. So maybe by the fourth inning, if they're starting tired a little bit, they've been around the plate. The umpire's probably going to give them that 50-50 pitch, right?
You would think.
But yeah, but Tony used to be fiery. Tony, and it was Bob Glass who was the AP. Stringer, who was the mortician, the funeral home director, who mm-hmm. Tony went off on, be a man, screamed at him, had to be restrained. His Bob Glass said, you know, why don't you be a man? And Tony went, be a man, and start. But that was the guy. So
that took some gumption for a Stringer to say that to a baseball manager. That's funny.
And Bob wasn't a young man, and I don't know how he thought that was going to be received by a young Tony La Russa at the time.
Well, I could have told you then, not too well.
No, and it didn't, and that became the mantra.
And
in
that
the
was fiery Tony. Now Tony wants to talk to everybody in a very non-confrontational way. In their natural environment on the field. Don't want to bring him to the office, too official.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It might be time to step it up. And I say this again because today this follows 8-0 win against the Tigers. Great performance by Johnny Cueto. The offense showed up. We're all smiles and happy. But when
too
we
many
have
times this season,
right?
Too
when
many.
We have some, when we have some issues, some peewee mistakes in the field, or we have people chasing pitches and not giving themselves a chance to win the game, and supporting a starting pitcher that has a good outing, you know, how about in the clubhouse talking to everybody?
Well, and not only that, too many times, you know, feel free to go out and put up another dominant performance all the way around, or just win the damn game. Because, as you said earlier in the show, too many times you get excited by the once in a while.
Like the yesterday's game, and we come into today's game, and I hope I'm wrong, but we've seen it in the past where
we've been teased, right?
Yeah, it's been an unfair tease. We think the corner's been turned, and we're still running in place.
Right. You're in the roundabout. You're in the cul-de-sac because you've dominated good teams, and then all of a sudden the next day you lay in a collective egg. And you can't do that. You got to start stringing not only wins together, but, you know, convincing wins, like good, solid baseball, no brain fart wins, right? None of the stuff, no balls dropping between fielders or guys getting caught between second and third.
Or calling somebody off on a ball and then reaching unsuccessfully to catch the ball that you intended on catching.
Yeah, any of that stuff. Or, you know, all of a sudden leaning off second or first.
Or the old 8-5 triple play.
Well, there's that. I've never seen it. Before,
you
because
won't.
It was the first time in the history of the game.
You won't. We've got a couple Twitter polls to wrap up here. Let's start with baseball. Considering all things, durability, leadership, performance, where does Johnny Cueto, after yesterday's performance, where does he rank today for you in the Sox starting rotation? We took first off the plate because Dylan Cease may end up being an all-star. His stuff is just amazing. However, the impact that Cueto's made is pretty important. So is he second, third, fourth, or fifth? Jake Cantu has got the results of that poll. How's it look, Jake?
I think Twitter spoke well, and he said they're second. He's second right now.
And some people might argue first.
And then also at third, 34.1%, and fourth, fifth, obviously falling behind.
Now, remember, he was signed as the fifth starter, a guy to plug the hole for Lance Lynn.
He signed to a minor league contract and didn't show up till mid-May, right?
And he had to prove it in the minor leagues to even get here.
Yep.
Great story. One of the best storylines of a tough year so far for the White Sox. All right, so the other ESPN poll, will Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews request to be traded following what happened the other day? And the choices are Kane will, Toews will, both will, neither or one will. How's that look?
No surprise here. Both will at 48.7% takes the cake.
Wow. 88 and 10 heading out.
Well, you know what? Look, I think people are being realistic, right?
Fans are being realistic. Yeah, and I'm. You know what? I don't think Kyle Davidson's going to fight him when the Pat Brisson, their agent, calls and says, you know, our guys went out, my guys went out.
Look, it would have been a nice storyline to have both of them play to the end of their natural career, maybe even have a winning season before they wrap it up. You know, get deep into the playoffs, even another Stanley Cup. But you know, oftentimes those storylines are just. And more dreams than anything.
I believe NHL free agency starts this Wednesday, so we'll know an answer pretty soon.
Well, you know, Dylan Strome's not going to be tendered. I mean, it's house cleaning now. So,
Well, at this point, why turn back?
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. If DeBrincat was expendable, and then you wouldn't bring back, you know, above average guys. You got rid of an all star right there.
And the argument is, did we get enough? We won't know until these guys hit the ice and see what they can do for us.
In about 4 years, check back, and we'll be able to tell you.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
It's going to be painful 4 years. All right, so we're just about to wrap things up. Again, pregame with Dion Miller next here on ESPN 1000. You're home for Chicago White Sox first pitch day, 110. Connor on the play-by-play, along with DJ, as they try to win one from the Tigers and end up splitting. It's the best of a possible situation. We were going for a sweep. Didn't quite work out that way. But maybe, just maybe, yesterday was the start of something beautiful, Brian.
Here's hoping.
All right. Thanks thanks for listening, and have a great day. Go White Sox. This is ESPN 1000.